What would you say you do here?
Oh, yeah, I'm having a fun time.
Here he comes on the far post. Socrates is there. Socrates is in. Socrates has scored. The Greeks are going mad. The Greeks are going mad. Socrates scores. The beautiful cross mark of Eden. The Germans are disputing it. Hegel is arguing that the reality is merely an a priori adjunct of non-naturalistic ethics. Kant, by the categorical imperative, is holding that ontologically exists only in imagination. And Marx is claiming it was offside.
My eyes have seen the glory. The United States has shocked Portugal. Game over.
Live from the Jerry Payne Studio in downtown Chicago, this is Far Post Radio on ChicagolandSportsRadio.com.
Welcome to Far Post Radio. I am Ruben Tisch, and we're here with you for 2 hours to talk about various soccer things. Of course, in the next segment, we're going to get super, super serious. Note the serious face. I suppose you can't because it's radio. But even so, note the serious face. I've got some things to say to the Chicago Fire organization. Ryan Seelock will join me at 12:45 or so to talk about various things going on in MLS and around the world, because he is a Newcastle United fan, so he knows pain, and we're going to wring it out of him. And we'll talk about various things. The U.S. roster was released. We'll talk a bit about that today. We will talk a bit about... I want to sort of bring up, maybe towards the end of the show, the petition the San Antonio Scorpions are signing. San Antonio Scorpions fans are signing to try and get the newly minted NASL team to MLS, and what that means as far as soccer in the United States and what that means in that whole big picture sort of idea. But we're going to start. I want to break down. Breakdown is a bit of an interesting way to put it. I want to talk about some of the moves that have been made about our beloved hashtag CF97 squad. One of which being the trade of that happened earlier in the week of Austin Berry to the Philadelphia Union for what was reported as somewhere around $100,000 in allocation money. But of course, because of MLS's rules governing the various sort of things like that, We won't know, and probably, frankly, we'll never know what that amount is. Was reported. If it's true or not. And of course the waiving of Kellen Gulley as well. Also, finally, something we didn't have, and finally, as in as a measure of relief, we have, in fact, something we didn't have this time last year, and that is a local television broadcast schedule, which is, by the way, something that went a bit under the radar, but is what we call in the business good news. The Chicago Fire have a broadcast schedule. It's the same partners as last year with My50 and Time Warner Cable Wisconsin. That's interesting, by the way, and I didn't sort of mark it on this space when it happened. But the Time Warner Cable move for the Fire that they made last year and are continuing that partnership this year is one of the most innovative things I've seen out of a Major League Soccer. And I'm going to get very negative on certain aspects of the front office next segment. And obviously, you know exactly what that's about. However, what I want to bring up now is a good thing. I want to be positive first, because the time, because there's something that people have been claiming for a while in the Midwest, sort of upper Midwest Great Lakes soccer space, and that is a team up in Wisconsin or in Detroit. Are a first division club, obviously, because they've all got various smaller level, lower division clubs, as is wont to be somewhere in the United States. But especially up in Milwaukee, the Fire are taking initiative to corner, for lack of a better term, that market that isn't that far from Chicago. It's only, what, an hour and a half drive? When I lived at Mizzou, I had to drive that far just to get to martial arts practice sometimes. It's not that big of a deal. You've got fans from as far as Iowa who are Fire fans coming in to Chicago to watch games. You've got fans from the Missouri St. Louis area coming up for games with even season ticket packages. You've got fans from Indiana coming in for that. The fact that Time Warner is in on this is absolutely wonderful. The regional broadcasts for the Fire in Wisconsin will be on TWC sports, and that's wonderful. That's fantastic news. I think that it's always good to expand your reach as a club and try and bring new people on TV and to get those people watching on television who like soccer, who don't necessarily know a lot about MLS because they haven't before been in an area to care about it because they don't have a local team. Well, the Fire are trying to do something, I think, that the Chicago Cubs did in the 60s, sort of by having their games broadcast all over the country on WGN when it was a superstation, back in the day before cable and superstations were a thing. You have a lot of Cubs fans, a lot of places in the country who grew up watching them on television. I think what the Fire are trying to do to sort of regionalize this club, this is not just the club of Chicago, but it's the club of the entire, it's the first division club of really sort of the entire Great Lakes region. It's an interesting experiment they're doing, and I hope it pays out for the club, both business wise and fandom wise. I think it's a brilliant idea. It really, really is a brilliant idea. If you want to call in and talk about this or anything else, it's 312-564-7375 is the number you want to call and talk in. 312-564-7375. Dan Kelly and Evan Whitfield will not be calling it. It's Dan Kelly and Kevin Egan. Sorry, I like Kevin Whitfield, Whitfield, he's good, Evan, Kevin, Egan, I don't know what I'm doing, totally just screwed that up, c'est la vie. And I want to be positive again on the Austin Berry thing, obviously because I'm gonna kill the Fire in the next segment, so stay tuned for that, but the Austin Berry move, I think it was made out of necessity, if I'm honest. I think that you brought in John Kennedy Otato and Patrick Chiani to sort of challenge the current center back role, and I think Berry going to Philadelphia, it helps out Philadelphia. It also helps out the Fire, and I've seen a lot of people complain about the Philly deal with Barry. But the thing about that is, and it was well reported, and a lot of people who don't really pay all that much attention were sort of thinking that I've seen, we're sort of thinking, well, why would you trade him for just $100,000? Well, let me tell you something about that $100,000 in allocation money. That $100,000 in allocation money is going right to Mike McGee. That's Mike McGee's money. No question in my mind that that's what that's for. That's Mike McGee's money. Because Mike McGee was holding out. I you know, maybe family problems, whatever you heard. Mike McGee was holding out. And he just showed up to camp after the... He shows up to camp. It's not a coincidence that he showed up to camp after... that he shows up to camp after the deal is made, which means that they were able to pay Mike McGee what he wants to be paid and all that good stuff. Pay the MVP money, whatever that is in MLS. $350,000, $400,000. You pay Mike McGee MVP money. And that's what the Fire did. It's good. It's good for Mike McGee to get paid. It's good for Austin Barry to go somewhere where he knows he has a guaranteed starting spot. I think that Philadelphia back line is better, especially in you're in front of a goalkeeper in Zach McMath, who, let's face it, is not the best goalkeeper in the world. I think if you're Philadelphia, you've got to be happy. And if you're the Fire, you got to be happy, because it means Mike McGee is going to be back out in the field. That's what that means. And if you cannot see that, or at least you don't have, and I'm not telling you you have to be absolutely happy. I'm not telling you have to be absolutely thrilled with the idea. Because really, if you think about it, you really shouldn't be all that thrilled with the idea. I'm not thrilled with the idea. I liked Austin Barry, both as a person and a professional player. I think what he brought to the club was good. But there are a lot of... there's a lot of things that are good about it. And I think you're going to like the eventually that the deal's good. And it'll be good for both parties, and that's really what you want. It's Far Post Radio, ChicagolandSportsRadio.com. Coming up next, it is what I called on Twitter... to promote the show. It is time for expectations, respect, and the Chicago Fire Kit. That's next. It's Far Post Radio, ChicagolandSportsRadio.com. Far Post Radio, ChicagolandSportsRadio.com. I've put a lot of thought into this. It came out about a week worth of thought. The jersey leaked, I believe, late last week. Thursday, I think. Maybe Friday. No, because I would have talked about it. So it was that last weekend, this sort of thing happened, and I thought about it. Thought about it a lot. First of all, I knew this was coming. I don't know if I could speak for the rest of you. I don't have any inside sources, but people who do told me off the record to expect something like this. And by this, I mean the backlash. I did not know what the jersey looked like before or anything before that. I forget the website that did it, but the word release. When that came out, I thought I was just going to wait for the official release on March 4th to get my thoughts on it. And then the picture leaked. And no, it doesn't look like an official representation of the jersey. The collar is colored in solid. There's no sort of accoutrement about it. But that's essentially maybe 20-30% excluded of what it's going to look like on March 4th. Now, I would like to say I don't know how this works with Adidas as far as final products and leaked drawings and the like. But there is still time. I would like to reiterate that there is still time for them to get their act together and put the white stripe in and leave the blue shoulders. Because if honestly, if the white stripe was there, it wouldn't actually look that bad, I must say. It really wouldn't actually look all that horrible if it was a solid stripe across the chest. It really wouldn't. But I want to talk about expectations and why people are so mad about it and why I got so mad when I first heard it. Because I went mad and now I'm just kind of sad. If I'm completely honest with you, I'm just kind of sad. When I saw it, I kind of teared up a little bit. After the 2009 season, when Cuauhtémoc Blanco left, year after year, decision after decision, both on the field and off of it, has turned what was once a proud club with, if not a deep tradition, a hefty tradition. The double, the first year. No club can and probably no club will ever do that again. Win the double in their first year of existence. No club will ever do that again. Ever. In the history of first division soccer in this country. It will never happen again. The greatest team in one of the oldest tournaments in organized professional soccer. Of course, that being the U.S. Open Cup. The fourth longest continuous tournament run in the soccer world. Of course, continuous because the United States didn't stop the tournament for World War II like a lot of other places did in Europe. Which is why it's the fourth longest continuous running club championship. Chicago Fire have 4 victories in that tournament in the modern era. That's the most of any club in the modern era. They are 1 Open Cup win from being the club with tied for the most all-time in the history of that tournament. With, and we all know the names now, Bethlehem Steel, Maccabee Los Angeles. 5 Open Cup victories. Chicago Fire, with those 4 Open Cups, that won Supporters Shield in 2003, and the MLS Cup in 1998. 6 trophies. Believe that's third most in MLS. The Chicago Fire have the third most trophies in the history of the league. They are the only club to win all 3 conferences. They are the only club to win the Central Division, the Central Conference, when there were 3 conferences. They are the only club to have ever won the Central. This is not about... It's not really about the jersey. It's about what the jersey represents. It is a symbol of something. It is a symbol of the vision of great men who led this club, who led the sport of soccer out of the deep abyss to where it is today. The legacy we stand on is the legacy of Peter Novak on the field, of Peter Wilt off the field. It's the legacy of Major League Soccer, of Doug Logan, who couldn't get the Fire in 1996, because even though they wanted a Chicago team immediately, they weren't able to get it in time. It's the legacy of the city of Chicago, because a lot of city things had to get done in order to get this team there. City of Chicago, through the Park District, had to approve of the Fire playing at Soldier Field in the summer. It's the history of the Chicago Sting, of Lee Stern. These are the people that white stripe on that jersey represents. They represent you. They represent me. They represent the first generation of which I am. I am one of the, if not the, first generation that does not remember a time in the United States without Major League Soccer. I'm 23 years old. I was 7 years old. I was 6 years old in October of 1997 when the Chicago Fire were launched. I was 7 years old when they played their first game at Soldier Field. I used to believe the Miami Fusion and won 2-0. I was 7 years old. I don't remember if I was there. I remember sitting in my basement on my Zenith television, watching the Chicago Fire beat DC United 2-0 in the MLS Cup with Phil Schoen calling the game for ABC Sports. I remember that distinctly. This is mine. These are my memories. This is my club. And by systematically taking away everything that I hold dear. Because players come and go, coaches come and go. The badge, the shirt, that stays forever. That is a constant in a world of moving parts that is professional soccer in the 21st century. I feel systematically disrespected by the organization. And the hard part, the part that makes me sad more than anything, frankly, is that there are people in the organization. In fact, I'd say 90% of the organization cares and respects that those words that adorn the locker room and are on the plaque leading out into the field from the tunnel, and the words on the locker room, and the words on the back of the shirt, that passion, honor, tradition isn't just a marketing slogan. It is the club. It is the heart and the soul. There are people there. Mike Ernst in the ticket office. Jeff Crandall, who runs the Fire website and is a frequent guest on the show. Eunice Kim in the media relations department.
in the media relations department, not and the media relations department, because as we know, there are a couple of people there who don't respect what the people before them built. And that includes Andrew Hotman, the owner. Make no mistake about it. This jersey, the systematic destruction of the symbols that we hold dear, our memories, our feelings, our passion, our honor, our tradition. It's not Adidas. It's not Quaker. Don't get it twisted. It's not Adidas. Adidas would be perfectly happy making jerseys with a white stripe on it. Because let me tell you something about the way Adidas. You might not like the way their jerseys look, but they have absolutely zero say in what they look like. You talk about templates. The only templates the Fire have been on were those 2006-2007 jerseys that were modeled at the template that France used for their away kits in the 2006 World Cup. Those were the only times that Adidas has used a template. And it wasn't until the organizations, until Andrew Hotman says so, that they changed the color of the shirts. Don't be fooled here, guys. It's not Adidas. It's not Quaker. It's not even most of the organization. You know it, and I know it. This whole thing is Andrew Hotman. It's got his name written all over it. And I am sick of the disrespect that showed to fans and myself and other commentators who give a crap. Far Post Radio, Chicagoland Sports Radio.com. Coming up next, Ryan Seelock. Everything is awesome. Far Post Radio, Chicagoland Sports Radio.com. We are, in fact, living the dream. And joining me on the phone right now is Ryan Seelock, who I'd wish he'd turn his computer down. Ryan, how are you?
Good. How's it going, man? Just on my lunch break. And I have to ask, were you purposely trolling me with that Hawk Harrelson sound clip?
No.
Okay.
I wasn't. Although, Steve Stone did say that they were going to do sabermetrics on the air, so the broadcast will just get more amusing as we go.
Ah, nice.
So we got that going for us, not much else, really. But I didn't have you on to talk about baseball, although certainly we could. Let's start with the Fire. I was able to watch, let's start with the on-field stuff before we get into the off-the-field thing that I just spent a good 15 minutes ranting on before your segment here. What do you think, what are you seeing from the squad so far down in Tucson? I'm starting to like the way things are working.
Sorry, you're kind of cutting up there. I didn't catch what you said.
Talk about the team in Houston, Tucson. How have they looked in this sort of last stretch of the preseason here?
Oh, gotcha. Okay, that's a little bit better. I mean, just going off, like, the preseason form so far, at least, I mean, obviously you can only take certain amounts out of preseason. Overall, you know, despite losing our first game of the year, I think we've looked really good. I'm really encouraged by a lot of the youth, Joya and Ship, and definitely center back depth is a huge plus we haven't had in quite a while. So, I mean, overall I'm pretty pleased, and it seems like the McGee issue is getting tied up. So, you know, that has the potential to be a huge distraction too. So, overall, things are looking good right now. And obviously the Fire have one more game tomorrow and can close out and hopefully win their first of more than one trophy this year with the Diamond Desert Cup.
They trade, it's not a coincidence, right? They trade Austin Berry for allocation money in the six figures, and all of a sudden Mike McGee shows up. That's not a coincidence.
Yeah, no, I don't think it is at all. They had to get under the cap, and, you know, it's Barry is well liked. I liked him. You know, my point, I think I put it in the comments in one of the stories on the website. Obviously, you have to credit a lot of the Rookie of the Year towards having Arne Friedrich beside him. He's still a good player, had a sophomore slump. I think he would have bounced back this year, and I would rather see him on the team than Stumare. But, you know, in the end, you obviously aren't going to deal Stumare back to the team he got him from. I mean, Philly's not going to take him back, especially at that price. So, and it was an unfortunate casualty. I mean, I would rather keep McGee and lose Barry, and if it opens up space to get Grant Ward on loan. I know Guillermo Rivera yesterday tweeted about having good news with good in parentheses yesterday here in the next 3 or 4 days, so I'm kind of hoping it's Ward news. So if we can re-sign McGee and get Ward out of that, you know, in the long run, I'll take that.
So, what's your take on how this offseason has gone from an off-the-field perspective? Because obviously it seems like you go 3 steps forward and then you take a giant 2 steps back to sort of end up exactly where you were at the end of the season, where you're kind of excited for what's coming up on the field, but off the field, not so much.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. To be honest, now I'm kind of what happened, I expected. It's almost like, you know, being invested in Newcastle. No matter how high the team can be, you know, we're, like last year, you know, going a winning streak, winning games, something has to happen to bring us all back down, it seems like. And that happened this year. You know, obviously none of us expected to make any big moves realistically. We were hoping we'd make a move. We really didn't. But, you know, a couple solid additions, and then, you know, Harry Schiff, we get him, so fans are kind of pumped. And then the whole Sector Latino fiasco, and now the jersey fiasco with, you know, the design being horrendous, and, you know, whether you want to be on the side of the fence saying, hey, it's not the slap in the face of tradition that, you know, some of us on the west side have made it out to be, or you want to say absolutely it is, you can change stuff without changing what the fire were founded on. It's just, yeah, we can have positive things and we get knocked back. We can't go through a whole season feeling good. You know, part of that's the team on the field. Obviously, we're out of on the outside looking in for playoffs. You're not going to be as happy as having it locked up early, but it just seems like that's been the last few years. No matter, you know, how long things go good, we know tomorrow things could be knocked right back down, and it sucks to have to go through those peaks and valleys like that, but, you know, what can you do? You just keep supporting the team and hope for better days ahead.
Now, the jersey, me personally, it offended me on a lot of ways. I just did 15 minutes on how it offends me on the fire, as a fire fan, and the tradition and respect level. It also offends me on a design level and a fashion level. Like, it has to be one of the most ill-advised, ugly pieces of just clothing you've ever seen. And you, more than I have, lived through the 90s and Zubas. Like, come on! It is one of the most ugly pieces of clothing I've ever seen created for anything.
Hey, don't knock my Zubaz Cubs pants that I had as a kid until you've tried them.
Okay, that's okay, I suppose, but I mean, you know, like the leopard print and the, you know.
Sure, and, you know, you're right, the design is awful, and I get, you know, Andy's the owner, and he has the right to do what he wants, which can be fortunate, can obviously be many more times unfortunate. My whole thing is, why do you have to change the tradition? Okay, you want to play around with this logo or that or the color scheme, but, you know, the white stripe had meaning. The badge has meaning. And, yes, I know, like, English clubs over the years have slightly adapted their logos, but look at, like, Vincent Tan. I mean, imagine going into Arsenal and then suddenly saying, hey, by the way, we're going to completely change the badge and all this other stuff. I mean, the backlash would be crazy, and that's the thing. If you want to tweak it, okay, but I don't see this huge need to have to brand it as his club, as he's wanting to do, other than the fact of hey, it's mine, it's my ego, I'm going to do what I want. And I made that point the other day on a comment. I said, do people defending this or saying it's not as bad as we're making it out to be really think it's going to stop there? Do we really think we're not going to see what more and more taken away over the years? Of course we are. Big Soccer, I posted the link that the badge could be changing too, and I can see the center of it. Okay, going plastic as long as it's the same color, not a big deal. But then you start adding the holograms around it, and you know you can change a lot without changing the core of what we are, and that's what I feel is being done. And it's really ugly. Look at Barcelona; they had the same type of jersey a couple years ago, and it looked like they were walking pieces of Halloween candy corn. It was awful.
Well, I give Barcelona a little leeway with the orange and yellow because it's the colors of the Catalan flag. So at least there's sort of something there. I will, however, disagree with you on the badge to an extent. I'm kind of, and this is my deep, dark fashion secret, I'm kind of a fan of sparkly. I'm one of those ooh shiny people. So like putting like a holographic, the sort of holographic C's inside the cross there, not only look cool, but it also helps protect against false product like the. You see them all the time, the sort of at games, the fake Blanco jerseys, the knockoffs. Also, prevents things like that, which sure. It's actually pretty genius. And if you keep the colors the same, I think it could actually be pretty cool.
Okay, fair enough. It's like I said, I don't mind going from, all the cloth or nylon or whatever material it is now to having the raised up C. As long as the colors are the same, I'm not personally a big fan of the holographic part. I mean, it's a good point about the counterfeiting. I do know people, though, that would pay half the price, even if it's not an official authentic or a replica, to save the money. And it will help with that, I guess. Again, I see it changing more and more and more, and I can see it getting to the point where those core elements are gone. And maybe I'm wrong, but, again, I'm going off the track record in history, slowly little things get taken away. And again, some people will argue, hey, the club is still the club, it's not gone even if the badge changes. But it's one of those things that, what is untouchable? At what point do you say this is our core identity?
This is who we are.
People recognize this. We may change this and this and this and this, but this is off limits. Just like pro sports, it's a player. Hey, maybe you can pry this or this or this guy away with a really good deal, but you're not touching this guy. And I just don't feel like there's any aspect of our club now that's untouchable. That if Andy thinks there's a reason to change it, he will, no matter what, be damned, is attached to it. And that's wrong. There needs to be something sacred that you never mess with. And short of the Ring of Fire, which you never know if that'll get changed.
It already has, though. It was supposed to be one a year, and then he took the power away and that whole deal.
Which
is another sort of thing. But on the jersey badge thing, it also might be functional. Because, they're doing the sort of my coaching player monitoring system. And since where the badge is located, at or near the heart of the player to get an accurate heart rate reading, it might just be a form of function, especially on those jerseys where if there's a heart rate monitor in the badge itself, because I don't know where else you'd put it.
Sure.
It's making it rubber. It's probably easier to get one inside a rubber sort of badge type deal than a cloth badge.
Sure. Yep, and that definitely makes sense. Like I said, the composition of what the badge is made of doesn't really bother me. I just kind of like how it is. And if it has shiny stuff, you never know. Hey, there's a set piece. You hold your badge up into the sun, blind your defender, unmarked, boom, goal.
Exactly.
A two-for-one thing, right?
Exactly. Form, function, and it might help with the cheating. That's not really illegal yet, so it's not really cheating.
Yeah, exactly. exactly.
So you got that going for you, which is nice.
Yeah, but overall, at least on field, you know, without making the big acquisition, which I still think we're that impact guy away, you know, if the kids can step up and really contribute, there's no reason to think, I'm not going to say we're going to be top two, but I think I see us like last year, honestly, my hope, at least in terms of kind of being on the bottom of the ladder for a playoff spot, my hope, though, is with a full year of McGee, with the kids helping step up, we'll be in the driver's seat rather than having to make that late heroic push. The question will be that last month of the year, if players are going to be fresh, if rotation's going to be there, obviously with Gallup instead of Bopas, and we don't run out of gas, I think we can get into the playoffs, and, you know, maybe we make some sort of other move, in the summer. With our cap being so tight, I don't see it, but at least there's a little bit of hope. We're in good form and, you know, a new outlook, so we can be happy about that, I think.
So let's talk real quickly while I have you here about the only mid-table team in the English Premier League, the team you are a fan of. When the season started, before the season started, if I had come up to you and told you that Newcastle would be in the position they are on the table, which I believe is...
should be 9th right now, I believe.
Yeah, if I were to come up in the first week of August and said Newcastle United will be finishing 9th in the Premier League, you would have been ecstatic, wouldn't you?
I wouldn't use the word ecstatic. I would be...
It's better than being in the relegation fight.
Well, true, and with Mike Ashley, anything can happen. I would say I would be content if just for the fact we're not going to be relegated. Now, we have the talent to be better than that. Obviously, losing Kabay and not replacing him, which I knew would happen, hurts the overall talent. But, I mean, a large chunk a good part of the core of the team a couple years ago that finished 5th, we're still there. But that's Mike Ashley. He's content to finish mid-table, collect the money, and he's good. Almost feeling like the fire, you know. I'm pissed if we don't make the playoffs, as are many fans. Like, hey, we're going to do whatever it takes to get back. And it just feels like now we're kind of like, hey, well, we didn't make the playoffs. We'll add a piece or two here or there, and that's okay. And it's not. The thing is, it won't change. It will not change with Newcastle. It's not going to until the team gets sold, which probably won't happen in my lifetime, just despite me. So I'll just be a miserable old bastard for the rest of my life when I watch Newcastle games.
But what if I know it's a silly rumor and it's never going to happen, but it's fun to talk about, so I'll ask you about it. If Vince McMahon were to buy Newcastle United, what things, strange or otherwise, would you expect to see? And how do you think that the team would change?
Well, first of all, there should be a WrestleMania at St. James Park.
Yes.
Second of all, if we have a horrific goal disallowed like we had earlier this year, one free chair shot to the official that missed the call. But, I mean, in reality, it would be pretty crazy. He would put money into the club. I have no doubt about that. He'd be pretty demonstrative. I would love to see him on the sidelines. Like, people thought it was good TV when handbags would happen between, you know, Arsene Wenger and Sir Alex. I mean, he'd, you know, body slam someone and just Hulk up and roid up on the sidelines. In terms of team changing, I mean, I could see building a fairly, I would say, rugged or thuggish club, known for being a little bit rough. Yeah, it was kind of nice to dream about that. Honestly, there are, I suppose, worse owners you could have. They're much better, but what better club for that to happen to than Newcastle? I mean,
you know,
there's already a circus there. You might as well turn it into a four-ring circus.
You know, it would be perfect for that would be Joey Barton back to Newcastle.
Hey. Well, and then you can loan him to the Fire.
I was going to say... but if there would be any team in MLS that Vince would buy, it would be the Revs, and he'd just move them to Connecticut, which, by the way, is still in New England, so you'd still be able to call them the New England Revolution.
Exactly. But the name would have to change. He would have to, like, change it to something negative towards Kraft for, you know, I know a lot of people aren't fans of Kraft either, but he would find a way to do it.
The, let's see, Kraft, the New England Campbell's Soups.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Kraft. The New England the New England Stouffer's frozen mac and cheese dinners.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. Some just something outrageous, make them a laughing stock, and then we can all laugh at them. But
and then they'd probably win because of the money.
Yeah, that'd be our luck. That would be our luck.
Thanks for jumping on, Ryan. I needed the laugh.
Yeah, hey, no problem, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, hope to have you on again soon. That's Ryan Seelock of various places, a contributor to Hot Time in Old Town. When we come back, talk about the U.S. Men's National Team. Their 23-man roster has been released, and maybe Stephen Brandt will join us. He asked if he wanted to call in, and I said sure. So maybe he'll show up or something. Or maybe I'll just hear from you. 312-564-7375 is the number to call. It's Far Post Radio, ChicagoandSportsRadio.com.
What would you say you do here?
Oh, yeah, I'm having a fun time.
Here he comes on the far post. Socrates is there. Socrates has scored. The Greeks are going mad. Socrates scores, but beautiful cross from Archimedes. The Germans are disputing it. Hegel is arguing that the reality is merely an a priori adjunct of non-naturalistic ethics. Kant, by the categorical imperative, is holding that ontologically exists only in the imagination, and Marx is claiming it was offside.
My eyes have seen the glory. The United States has shot Portugal. Game over.
Live from the Jerry Payne Studio in downtown Chicago, this is Far Post Radio on ChicagolandSportsRadio.com.
Second hour of Far Post Radio right now here on ChicagolandSportsRadio.com, and somewhere at some point, but things are going wrong. Somewhere at some point, Stephen Brandt is somewhere on the phone. Stephen, are you here with me?
Yeah, it sounded like you had dropped me in some water over there. I mean, I heard you were so upset with having to talk to a Liverpool fan that you just took the phone and went, okay, into Lake Michigan we go.
Oh, it's not so much Lake Michigan. It's not so much the Liverpool as the Buffalo, New York thing. Not a big fan. Not a big fan of Buffalo.
Now, why would you hate such an ordinary, boring town like this? I mean,
because you're hogging Ryan Miller from a team that actually deserves him with your AHL team masquerading as an NHL team.
Well, don't worry, he's gonna get dealt somewhere for like half a team's prospects anyway. So it's
the deadline's like Wednesday.
Yeah, and they've been trying to deal him for like 3 years. Him and his droopy eyes or something. They were good to draft a guy behind him a couple of years back, so they could at least get some. Because you know goalies are the ultimate. Let's sell the farm system to get and have like three or four players.
Yeah, but if he was in goal instead of Jonathan Quick, the United States probably take that game in overtime.
Yeah, he would have. I mean, Quick is a good goalie. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, but he plays for the Los Angeles Kings, so he's on my bad list.
Well, anybody that plays out in L.A. should be. I mean, unless the team gets taken over by
the Anaheim Ducks, one of the two. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know which team. Whatever. Plays out there. Anyway, soccer, let's do that. Although I'm still doing my happy dance because Sebastian Vettel's car's not working in Bahrain, which is nice. You sent a tweet and said I was missing the point in my little segment, I suppose you can call it that, about...
You're missing the point here. Now, it's because you've grown up. It's because, now, I'll be honest, I'm 12 years older than you, so I have seen front offices take dumps on fans before, and I'm I'm not surprised by this. I mean, what has the front office shown recently? I mean, none of these teams actually care anymore. As long as we care about our fans. Translation: give us your darn money. Shut up. Don't do anything, and keep supporting us. That's all they want.
I disagree, because I'm seeing, even in the Fire organization, because especially the Jersey situation, whatever, that comes from on high. That comes from the owner specifically. But everybody else, even Atul Costa to an extent, on down, does care and does respect it. And I think that the organization, the people who do care, are hurt a lot by this, because the people who care have to deal with the anger. And Andrew Hotman doesn't. And well, I think it hurts, honestly, I think it hurts the organization and the people in it more than it hurts the fans.
Well, I'm not saying it's like people like Jeff Crandall, who I have a lot of time for. I mean, I'm talking about higher up, because, I mean, what are some of these, like, ticket office guys, these people around here that are going to be doing much? It's ultimately going to the board and the owner, and they could rain down anything, and they just have to take it. I mean, let me be honest, as an outsider, I love the original Chicago Fire strip. I mean, that white bar right there is brilliant. It sets it off from anything else. And the meaning of it, and the meaning of why it's actually called the Fire, is a good idea.
It's lost on people. I see it all over the place that it's named for the disaster. It's not named for the disaster. It's named for the recovery.
Yes, exactly. And see, here's the thing about this. We're going to keep seeing more junk type of jerseys like this. But, I mean, how much do you remember some of those junk ones from the 90s? I mean, I still shudder about some of the ones in the old NCAA. I mean, the ones where Pitino was at Kentucky with Tony Delk were some brutal jerseys.
Yeah.
We're gonna keep seeing this, because fashion and society have lost their collective mind. It's not about being simple and polite and actually doing something. It's about being fierce, striking a pose, having a duck face, and looking weird, because that's supposedly what the kiddies like.
And even then, this is beyond that. Like, I get it if it was like a straight mash, and it would actually, if it was just a straight without a sort of pseudo stripe across, horizontal stripe across the chest, it would actually look pretty nice if it was just a transitional blend that they did. But the problem is they didn't do that.
No, and I expected something like this out of whoever, out of the owner. I mean, I expect this to keep going. I mean, I don't expect anything good out of owners. Outside of maybe Merritt Paulson, I shudder to think what the next four teams are going to do.
Well, the pre-courts are fantastic. Like, I hate the Columbus Crew, and I hate their colors. I think yellow and black is just, you know, it's just weird to me, even though I get it because, you know, Georgia Tech and yellow and black are kind of, you know, B colors and stingers and that stuff, and that's partly why, because of the Chicago Sting, it kind of rubs me the wrong way. But anyway, I digress. The new Columbus jersey looks like a Columbus Crew jersey.
Well,
it's yellow with black trim. It looks like a Columbus Crew jersey.
Yeah, but what you got to see with P-Court is he's just in the door here. He hasn't been corrupted by, I mean, look all across the world right now. We're seeing owners losing their collective mind because they're getting all of the money. I mean, the Hull City people, the owner for Hull City needs to be taken to Siberia and left there, to be honest with you. The Cardiff guy needs to be left in Antarctica. And I'm not going to even get into what the junk Celtic and Rangers owners do. I mean, you could probably sit here and say the guys at Rangers have done some idiotic stuff.
Yes.
Over their lives. So, I mean, no league is beside point. And I hate coming online, reading online or listening online, people opining that, oh, they care. No, they don't. As long as they're still getting your money, and they won't care. This is why I precisely do not buy anything from teams or support the money from the teams whatsoever.
I will disagree with you. I think that there are people that care. I think that I think that the board at Arsenal and Stan Kroenke, they do care. I think that because I was reading back, and I was a bit young when they built the Emirates Stadium 2006 or so. So I was, what, 12, 13, 14, something like that.
There goes another gray hair for me.
They said that it was going to be like this. Like, we knew. Arsenal fans knew from the outset that there was going to be a period, 5 to 10 years, where that they would just be competing for fourth place Champions League. Like, we knew that. And we, the supporters' trust, said that. And now that that period has passed and they're finally growing out of it, you see what they're doing. They're buying Mehmet Ozil. They're trying to win. They care. I think that the guys who run Shahid Khan, I don't know if he cares traditionally the way about Fulham, the way that, you know, you'd want him to. But he understands that he's not going to muck about with the sort of family club Fulham atmosphere. And you haven't seen him do that. Most people
would come on and say that you would. They all agree. But, I mean, maybe Fulham has to go down. Because, I mean, the colossal junk that team is kind of scary. Because Fulham's a decent franchise club. It's something you can't really hate. It's ethereal. It's there. I mean, it's a lot better than the other teams that are surrounding. I mean, Chelsea's not too far. QPR's not too far. And how many people could care about either of those two teams? I mean, maybe it's because I'm getting old and crotchety that I've seen this stuff and just looking at it. I mean, I hope that there is a supporters revolution, because this is starting to get really scary.
Scary, yeah, in a lot of ways, you're right. I don't think it's that bad, though, because I look at all the leagues around the world. You know, you see teams that I'd argue there are more people who care than who don't. Obviously, the sort of Central Asian, they want the money. And they have a bunch of money and they need a plaything, and that's what it's for. I honestly think the United Arab Emirates guys who go in and buy teams, like the Manchester City situation, I think they care because of the prestige that they need to own a winner. And that's what it's about. It's not about when you have money, and that's why I sort of the whole Chelsea thing and sort of aren't too hard on them, even though it's patently ridiculous, is that when you have the money, you don't need to go in there to make money. You want to say you own a winner. And I think that's good for everybody. I think in the Fire's case, it's not about winning. It's just about, oh, I own a soccer team, let me entertain my clients. Whereas for all the other money marks in the game, it's more about I own a winner. And that's where my biggest problem is. It's that he doesn't want to win enough to go out and spend big money on, say, Miroslav Klose, who I've been on the Fire that the Fire should sign, and they probably have a good in Arne Friedrich, who still, by the way, guys, Arne Friedrich still loves the Chicago Fire Soccer Club. Like if he could, I don't know if he said it, but I've seen places where he's alluded to the fact that if he had a club that he could be a fan of, it would be this one. It would be the Fire, which I find interesting.
As you said in that segment about what Chicago and Chicago Fire mean, it's not like you're looking down at the Colorado Rapids or anything. Chicago and Chicago soccer have been there for, God, almost 80 years at this point. I mean, they and the Fire were good right away. the Fire were good right away, as I wrote. I mean, this is the thing that gets me, is that if you get someone in there that actually, and I don't know where your owner is from. I don't know if he's actually your
Los Angeles.
From. See, that once again proves it more and more. I mean, how many people can you say that have come from Los Angeles and actually done something? You've got enough money in Chicago to have put together a good enough organizational group that actually has the ethos of Chicago together. I mean, for God's sakes, how many former Bulls are still living in Chicago? How many former Bears? And I'm not even touching Ditka, Singletary, or Dent. You've got enough laying around there. You can put good enough people together.
I think Kanye should buy the team.
So, yeah. Surprisingly, who I would put... Actually, no. What you want is Joey Barton to buy the team.
No. It's not. I mean, he's not... No, I've decided, based on my conversation last segment with Ryan Sealock, that Joey Barton can go back to Newcastle and play center back for Vince McMahon's Newcastle United. He'd be perfect for that.
I have a feeling Barton's actually smarter than he lets on. When you read some of the stuff he says, I mean, he's at Newcastle, and he supports the Hillsborough stuff. I mean, I don't know if he's a Liverpool fan or anything, but
of course it's an act. He's good at marketing himself. We got to take a quick break. When we get back, Stephen, it's Premier League time we're gonna do U.S. Men's National Team. I want to ask you about the U.S. Men's National Team roster that was released for their game in Cyprus against the Ukraine on Wednesday. That's coming up next. It's Far Post Radio, Chicagoland Sports Radio. .com. For Post Radio, Chicagoland Sports Radio.com, Ruben Tisch, Stephen Brandt on the phone in Buffalo, New York, where he's from. At least where he's from now. At any rate, I don't know what. Where are you from originally, anyway? If you were a professional wrestler, where would you be billed from?
I'm not quite an army brat. This is beyond you, because as I said before, I'm 12 years older than you. I grew up in Rochester, New York. I went to high school in Minneapolis. I was born in Columbus, Ohio. My family lives in Syracuse. I went to college in Lawrence, Kansas, so I just say Earth.
America.
Yeah, I just say America, I've jokingly, like on my Facebook where it says where am I from, I've just put Lawrence, Kansas, because it's the only
one.
Yeah, I know. Because I know you have this irrational hatred because you decided to go to a university, and I'm not going to get political
that's
on here.
Better.
That's just horrible.
Better. That's better
no.
than, yes. First of all, Lawrence, Kansas is a dump. It's not nice to look at. Second of all, while you may have a good basketball gym, it's falling apart. Third...
It's just the 1800s. What do you expect?
Third, your color scheme is awful. And fourth, what's a Jayhawk?
The Jayhawk's a mythical bird. We're not going to name ourselves the Tigers, for God's sakes. We want to stand out, unlike you guys. I want to be one of 400 other teams named the flipping Tigers.
Yeah, except
and
ours is different because
I say a color scheme that's wrong. I mean, my God.
Yeah, but our yellow. Yeah, sorry,
you guys look like the wrong side of Oriole.
Black and gold, son. Black and gold. And also, our mascot is named after Harry Truman. So there. The United States men's national team has released their roster. We'll get to Julian Green in a minute because that brings up Zalalim and a couple of others I want to talk about a little later. But the lack of Landon Donovan, I think, is interesting, especially when you are taking two MLSers and Michael Bradley and the captain, Clint Dempsey. Should we read anything into the complete lack of Landon Donovan here?
No, not whatsoever. You know what you have in him. I mean, he is already the best American-born player of all time. So we know what you get with him, and With Landon, you've got to treat him with kid gloves because you don't want him to go off the reservation again and miss 3 or 4 months because he wants to go to Cambodia or wherever he goes.
Or the University of Wisconsin.
You know, wherever he wants to go. Right. You need someone. You need to bring Clint Dempsey in and get his mind right. He has been good in about a year. Plus with Michael Bradley, he's been out on and off this year, so I would have brought him in. I have no problem if you I would have had no problem if Tim Howard wasn't called in either. I would have said, okay, sit for this one because this is a meaningless friendly. Let's be honest. It's kind of like what Spain and England are doing. They're just calling up random other players. I mean, I would have gone through and found the dregs of. I mean, they call up Packwood, for God's sakes. I mean,
yeah, I was just about to ask you the defenders listed on this roster is like a. It's like a, whoa, these guys still exist? Really? You got Oguchi Onyewu, Tim Ream, Will Packwood, Alfredo Morales. About the only three guys that matter on the squad are John Anthony Brooks, Jeff Cameron, and Edgar Castillo.
Yeah, they brought a Bolton player in, for God's sakes. I have no time for Bolton for some strange reason.
What about Stuart Holden? Also a Bolton, sort of.
Yeah, Stuart Holland's there, but you know Stuart Holland needs a run out or two. I mean, he's one of those guys that I want to do well. I mean, you think of some of those kind of like C or D team midfielders that are laying around out there in Europe. Him and Kleischen are out there, and they're probably even less than Gold Cup type of players. You throw them into a friendly like this, and hopefully they get their legs. I mean,
well, Stuart Holden's still recovering from injury. I still have hope that. Because originally, before his first knee injury, Stuart Holden is supposed to be the heir apparent. To Landon Donovan, and frankly, if you saw him play in the Gold Cup, he was and granted, it's the Gold Cup, so it's lesser competition, but still, he was fantastic until he got hurt at the final. Until he tore his knee again in the final, I think. Stuart Holden is a guy who, if he's recovered and if he plays well the last month, you've got to invite him to World Cup camp
to see what he's got. I would invite him anyway. Just if he keeps going like his, I would invite him anyway. He's one of those like extra ones that I think is on the plane anyway. Because I'm worried what's going to happen to the U.S. national team after this. I hope we get out of the group. I hope we go far and all of that. But I'm kind of afraid with some of the just junk that he keeps calling up, and we have Julian Green laying out there, which the collective soccer community is losing its darn mind, and it's almost a Freddie Adu type of thing to me, and it's
different though, I think, from Freddie Adu, because Julian Green is already proving it sort of on a professional level. Granted, it's the German fourth division. But he is proving that he at least can score goals, which is as a forward, which is something that you can't really say for a lot of guys. Let's take a look at the forward list. Obviously, you got Aguadelo, you got Jozy Altidore, who's in an absolutely horrible situation with Sunderland. Terrence Boyd. Dempsey, who's actually a midfielder. Julian Green, who won't play because he's ineligible to play for the United States at this time. And Aaron Johansson, who cannot stop scoring. I think he scored like two more last week again in Holland. He just can't stop scoring. Say what you want about the lack of defense in Holland. But his offensive output is good no matter where you're playing.
Yeah, which is fun. I mean, you got Juan Julio out there too, which is good. I think Altidore got bit by playing for that crazy guy. But you know, it's better that Altidore's there than at that Newcastle team because he would just be outright hated. I hope
he'd be great at Arsenal.
I hope that Altidore seriously scores the winner this weekend.
Altidore, with the guys giving him service at Arsenal, Altidore would be a great forward at Arsenal. He'd be putting up Giroud numbers, I think, at Arsenal. I firmly believe that.
I have this theory that Arsenal is actually America's EPL team. Because think about it, there's a lot of Arsenal fans, and a lot of Arsenal fans that are sneaking up that are big-time media guys. I mean, Phil Schick is a noted Arsenal fan.
Which is hilarious, considering the fact that Arsenal seems to be anti-America in the way it works.
Yeah, and you'd say Kroenke doesn't even care about his MLS team.
That's not true. That is not. I will stop you right there. That is not true. He does give a crap about the Rapids, and you can tell by the young talented team that he's put together with Colorado.
Okay, then who did he name as head coach? He doesn't have one.
That's an interesting situation. It's probably going to be Mastroianni.
Well, Mastroianni coming out of retiring last year, just wanted to be a youth coach. Now he's given the whole darn thing.
From what I've seen of the Rapids, they've actually done okay with him.
Kroenke's smarter than this. I mean, and I hate to say something good about a Missouri person. That just makes my bones hurt.
MIZZOU. There you go. There it is. We got to do an update. I'll come back and I'll ask you something not soccer related, if that's okay with you.
Of course.
Here we go. It's Far Post Radio, Chicagoland Sports Radio.com.
Chicagoland Sports Radio Sports Update.
At 1:31, I'm Ruben Tisch with your Chicagoland Sports Radio.com updates. The Chicago Blackhawks got their season restarted where it left off with a loss against the New York Rangers in Madison Square Garden. They lose 2-1. The Blackhawks getting a goal late on in the third period to bring it back to within one, but couldn't tie the game. Patrick Kane had an effort to do so, but a great stop by New York's rookie goalkeeper prevented it from happening. Chicago Bulls are at Dallas tonight. That game tips off at 7:30. And hey, guess what? Baseball's back. The Chicago Cubs opened their Cactus League schedule to a record crowd of 14,486, breaking the 13,721 record set by the Dodgers and the White Sox at Camelback Ranch last year. They lost that game 5-2. But hey, there was some good news. Starlin Castro went 2-for-2 with an RBI, and Jeff Samardzija got out of a first inning jam. The White Sox Cactus League schedule starts against the Los Angeles Dodgers today in about half an hour, 45 minutes. That's awesome. And in a bit of F1 news, apparently Sebastian Vettel was so upset by the fact that his car sucks that he threw a tantrum inside the pits in testing at Bahrain. But Red Bull is denying that anything like that ever happened. It probably happened. That was your Chicagoland Sports Radio.com update, brought to you by the Illinois Center for Broadcasting. For more information, go to beonair.com. I'm Ruben Tisch. Far Post Radio, Chicagoland Sports Radio.com, Ruben Tisch. Steven Brandt is on the phone with us for the second hour, as he is sometimes wont to do. And I had a non-soccer question, but it's still sort of a sports question for you, Steven. Concerning the Buffalo and sort of their whole deal. Actually, it is kind of a soccer question, and I've asked you this before, but I don't think I've ever really gotten to the bottom of it, and I've always been curious. Toronto FC, do they have a television deal in Buffalo, or do you guys get, like, can you watch TSN? Is that, like, a thing your cable providers get up there that you could sort of watch and sort of watch Toronto FC soccer if you were so inclined?
Loosely you can if you have Time Warner, and I hate them with a passion anyway. Here's what we get. If I had Time Warner, and I don't, I have DirecTV, what I would get on my sports package is I'd get CBC, I'd get TSN, which CBC is a lot of fun because they play Coronation Street, and I like
women a lot. But
I also get Hockey Night in Canada.
Yeah. I guess SNY, which I don't think you guys get.
No, that's the New York Mets Comcast Sports Night station.
Yeah, and it also loosely plays the Big 12 a lot. Mm-hmm. And it's more, we get the YES Network, which is what Man City has right now. And it's a decent network. I mean, if you get through all the Yankees love and all the MSGs, because there's at least three.
So
we can get Toronto games, and we will sometimes get them on another network, MeTV here.
MeTV is a Chicago station, by the way.
Yeah, and we'll get them. It depends on what's on around here, because a lot of the time with sports around here, I will pull in Cleveland, or like if there's a baseball game on, we will get baseball instead of that. Like, I can guarantee I will get, I'm not a Chicago, baseball fan. I can get any day during the week, during baseball season, pretty much every game there is out there without having to commit to something.
Well, yeah, GN has Cubs and Sox games. And I've noticed this. The Comcast Sportsnet stations will pick up games if you don't have a game on. Like, for example, the other day before the Olympic break, CSN Chicago had the Washington Capitals on because there wasn't a Bulls game or a Blackhawks game.
Yeah, and that's kind of loosely what we get here. And I don't know if you guys get it here, but the Yankees are sometimes moved to, like, NBC or ABC, are like moved all over the place, and that's what's kind of alarming here, is that unless if the MLS or soccer is on a major network, we don't get it here. Like, some of the teams that have gone to NBC, I haven't gotten, because they've thrown on like PGA Today or one of the infomercials, and that's kind of the buggy thing about Toronto. Now, I'm not someone that, I don't watch Toronto FC. I don't watch any of the locals. If I could find, if I can't get a Portland Timbers game, I will generally watch Sporting KC because of my time living out there. Or blatantly, I will watch Chicago. I will watch any team coming out of Chicago because of my family.
You get MSG, though, so you could watch Red Bulls games, right? Those are broadcast in that market.
I hate their uniforms with a passion. I cannot stand it. I mean,
no, but you could if you wanted to.
I could if I wanted to.
That's what I want to kind of know, because it's sort of in that area. Like, you say you get TSN. I'm assuming that means because TSN broadcasts all the TFC and Impact games. You could get those if you wanted on TV.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just trying to see how much, because you get Canadian networks and you get American networks. So I just wanted to know sort of how the TV market there was.
Well, and I also get New York City. So, like, SNY gives me the Cosmos stuff. MSG gives me the Red Bulls.
Right.
I can get TFC and Montreal Low Impact. Selectively, I have seen Columbus Crew on some of the lesser channels too. I'm in a place sports wise where I could watch a lot if I wanted to.
Okay, that's pretty much what I really wanted to know. When we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll do the EPL preview. It's next. It's Far Post Radio, Chicagoland Sports Radio. Far Post Radio, Scarlet Sports Radio.com. Last segment of the show, which means, Steven, it is time for the EPL preview. But before we get to that, I'm looking at the schedules and I'm sort of noticing We're getting to the point of the year where they are postponing games because of various items. My question is, and I'm looking at not this week's games, but next week's, the March 8th, March 9th, which, by the way, is the opening weekend of MLS as well. Why is Arsenal-Swansea postponed, but Crystal Palace-Southampton not postponed? And why are they postponing games multiple weeks in advance?
Well, I thought Liverpool was playing Southampton this week.
Not this week. Next week. This coming Saturday. Saturday, March 8th.
I have no idea. There's probably some weird reason that EPL probably wants us to obsess over the Crystals more. I have no idea.
No, but I mean, like you have a team in both games. That's the reason. I'm thinking weather related, but both games are played in the same city. And yes, London is a big place, but it's not so huge that you get weather two different parts of the city, is it? Like, it's going to be snowy in North London, but in sort of central London where Crystal Palace play, it's going to be, you know, nice. Like, that doesn't happen. That's not how it works.
Well, you live in a massive city. I mean, going out towards the suburbs of Chicago, it's got to be different for you. I mean, because I know for me in Buffalo, when I get downtown, it's completely different. It could be raining up by campus, and I could get downtown by me, and it could be sunny in 90.
Yeah, but there's a bit more consistency actually here. Sure, there might not be snow in one area and snow in the other, but it's bitter cold in both. You know, stuff like that. But anyway, let's go to tomorrow. One postponement, and that is Sunderland and West Brom, which is actually one of the games I was looking forward to peeping at because of Jose Altidore, and West Brom is a train wreck. So, especially with the whole Nicholas Anelka suspension being held up, which I think was the right thing to do. Let's start. There is no lunchtime kickoff. So we get to sleep that extra 2 hours. The first 9 a.m. kickoff is West Ham at Everton. This has to be, you got to expect Everton to come in and get 3 points. Question I have for you, how stylish is Everton going to have to be in this win?
You could be completely stylish against this. I mean, because you know that rhinoceros that is a big Sam is just going to lump the ball forward to his big guys. And play. It's as I've said many times before. I like Martinez a lot, and he's proving the fact time and time again that David Moyes is an idiot. And I love the fact that they're decent because I like when there are two teams in a city that are really good that get to play each other because I don't like to see Liverpool go into the Merseyside Derby and just have a dumpster fire. It's better when these two teams are good, and I want Everton to finish above Tottenham.
Mm-hmm.
I want Tottenham to fall apart, but
you don't like Tim Sherwood. The next game, Fulham and Chelsea, London Derby. Yawn. Is this going to be a walk for Chelsea, or can Fulham maybe pull out a draw here and leave the door open for the teams underneath?
Yeah, I think for my prediction league, I predicted a couple draws and I forgot what it was, but I don't ever want Big Sam to do well in anything. It's just
What does it have to do with Chelsea and Fulham?
Oh, well, that's another team I don't want. I like Mourinho being bad because he just aggravates everybody in every country.
Mm-hmm.
And Fulham's just horrible. They bought a striker that can't play right now.
They've been playing well, sort of. I mean, they pulled a couple results recently.
Yeah, which is good, but who knows if they're going to keep a gas for more than 4 games. I mean, let's just fire. That's why I'm laughing at Sean Conn right now. He's turning it into a joke. It's got to be be a decent game, but ultimately Mourinho will find something to come on top.
Which stinks. Well, come on, which stinks for me, because they're a point ahead of Arsenal in first place, who Arsenal first place, who are at Stoke City, which is a bit of an interesting game, because Mesut Ozil is rested now, so he should be playing better. But defensively, Stoke has been really good this year, I've thought. When I've seen them play, Jeff Cameron's doing really well for himself out on the right, as far as Americans go in the Premier League. I think Stoke might cause some Arsenal some problems at home. I think Arsenal is eventually going to win this one, but I don't think it'll be easy.
I hope it's easy, because I hate Mark Hughes with a passion. But as you're sensing here, I don't like a lot of people. I want Arsenal to win. I want Arsenal to win because with Manchester City off, it will provide Pellegrini another headache. It's always fun when Pellegrini, Mourinho, and Wagner are fighting with each other in the media, because they're so much fun. I want to see the noose tightened around Mourinho, and if that's Arsenal spearing them, put it off. I want to see Mesut Ozil get 2 or 3 goals, so everybody would shut the heck up about him.
I had my finger on the what's we call the dump button there, just in case.
Hey, I had to forget I wasn't on my show. I was like, ooh, I gotta keep it quiet now.
Keep it clean. Okay, one that you have to keep it clean about. Liverpool and Southampton. Liverpool, I'm assuming, are going to take a walk after 10 minutes after scoring 3 goals and win this game 3-0 or something. How good is Liverpool right now? Let me ask you that. How good are they?
Well, I think people are overrating them yet again. I mean, yeah, don't get me wrong. They can put up 3 or 4. I mean, you guys walked into a frick buzzsaw, and I mean, I'm sorry. I didn't see that happen to Arsenal. So who knows? I mean, I think surprisingly people are underestimating Southampton. I like a lot of their parts. Too bad most of these parts could be at like Arsenal, Liverpool, and Man United next year, which is kind of sad. I mean, Pochettino is going to be probably back in La Liga or something like that. I hope this is another great free-flowing game, because I like it when my teams are good, and I like it that Liverpool is 4 points off the top.
There you go.
I really do. I like that. I mean, it's fun to see them and Arsenal at the top, and Man United just getting laughed at. It's just fun.
There's really only one interesting game on Sunday, which we'll talk about real quickly because we're coming up against the end of the show. And that's Swansea and Crystal Palace, because what you have here is you've got Swansea, who's having an extremely disappointing year in the league, against a team in Crystal Palace who is on the track to not be relegated. For the first time in their history in the Premier League, Crystal Palace would be up for a second season if things keep going as they are. Granted, yes, the bottom is tight. What do you see from this one? I think, aside from the finishing ineptitude from both teams, that this game could be really, really entertaining.
It should be. I mean, but once again, Swansea is coming off of a really good game against Napoli this past weekend, so their legs are probably tired, and they installed a player as their manager because they couldn't deal with Mike Waltrip, who's going to get ahead. Is probably going to get the Monaco job pretty soon.
That would be interesting. But what do you think? How do you think this one plays out? Do you think it'll be a draw? You think?
I think I picked it as a draw, to be honest with you. I mean, I want Crystal Palace to stay up. I want Swansea to stay up. I think with how they both play, it's going to be decent. But you've got to use the factor that Swansea's legs are just dead tired right now.
Yeah. Maybe it might have something to do with it. I don't know. Thanks for coming on for the second hour, as you do. Really appreciate it here. That's Stephen Brandt of the Tuesday VooVoo on Blog Talk Radio, among various other places. That's our show for today. Thank you to Stephen and, of course, Hot Time in Old Town's Ryan Sealock. No happy hour today because Phil is moving. So we'll be back next week with that. And we will be back next week with our MLS preview show. I'm going to go through each and every team, sort of see the lay of the land by conference. First the Western Conference, and we'll end with the Eastern Conference. And, of course, we will spend a lot of our time on the Fire. We'll try and have some guests lined up for our special MLS preview show. MLS starts next week. We finally get games to talk about. I am super excited for that. We will see you next week. Far Post Radio, Chicagoland Sports Radio. com. Stay close.
Sei lontana, sogno all'orizzonte, manca le parole. E io sì, lo so che sei con me, tu mia luna, tu sei qui con me.